Today we're going to talk about teaching to be teachers. And I know the first thing that's going through your head is, me? Right? We're not going to put anybody in a spot today, so don't worry about it. We're all right. I kind of picked the slide here just because I thought, you know, a lot of you out there probably are low-tech kind of people. Am I right about that? And there are a lot of high-tech people out there, but there are also several low-tech people. We usually do a lot of high-tech stuff here with this, and I thought, well, today we'd kind of make the high-tech do the low-tech and do it as a chalkboard for that purpose. So we did that. So out there, I've got the blackboard, which kind of, you know, is aging me a little bit because I came from the era where blackboards were green. But for those of you that are really like your blackboards black, I'll do one slide for you here. So as we look at this, then let's look at how Paul talks about teachers. And the first thing I want to ask you is this. For to be a teacher, is the gift of teaching really necessary? Is there a gift, and is that necessary to teach? So look with me in Romans chapter 12. As you're kind of flipping around there and trying to find Romans chapter 12, we'll be spending a lot of time in the, a lot of the verses that I'll point out are in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, so you want to find that dividing line, that might be helpful to you. But Paul talks about teaching in nearly every epistle in some form or fashion. So we will be jumping around quite a bit today. Is the gift of teaching necessary? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Paul talking about the body of Christ, and he says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many in one body..." So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or in ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So is teaching a gift? I kind of have some experience with this because my wife is a teacher. And I, at first, didn't think I wanted anything to do with teaching. I didn't think I wanted to have anything to do with teaching because I was pretty sure I would be no good at it. And as we began to do camps and other things together and began to really work in the ministry that goes on here at the church, I began to see some really good teachers. And one of the best teachers I know is my wife. And she, I think, has this gift of being able to communicate ideas to someone else. And really, I think, when it comes right down to that, is it a gift? Yes, I think there is a gift there that God gives. Is it necessary? I think as long as you can communicate effectively, you can become a good teacher. So that's really what I think teaching is about. And so I'd say, yes, there is a gift there. And if you have the gift of teaching, Paul says you need to use it in teaching. But I think it's a skill that we can all develop to a degree. And we can all use it in different ways. We have many other types of gifts that are out there. Some today have displayed their gift for, say, song or for music. Well, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul says to the church at Colossae, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another So he says we should teach and admonish or correct or warn each other. It doesn't say only the teachers among you. This is directed toward all of them. Who was it that Paul wanted the word to dwell in? Well, he wanted the word to dwell in every believer in this way. He wanted the word to dwell in them richly, teaching and admonishing one another. But in particular, he says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Before I ever got up here, the teaching began. The songs that we sing aren't just songs to put us in a good mood, although I think they do that. They convey a message to us. They convey a frame of mind to us. They convey a part of the Word to us. And we should embrace them as such. So to be a good teacher, you don't necessarily have to have a gift for teaching. You may have a gift for music. You can use that in teaching. You may have a gift for song. You can use that in teaching. You may have a gift for illustration. That was always an effective teaching tool for me. So there are many other types of gifts that can be used in teaching. So if you don't feel like you're gifted, especially as a teacher, guess what? I don't think you're off the hook. In Ephesians chapter 4, we talked about, we read this. It says, and he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Some experts say that that phrase, pastors and teachers, is really just one word that means teaching pastors. And in what I've looked at with it, it seems like that's probably accurate. That the teaching is something that is described, that is a description or descriptive word of the pastor. So this is something we're talking about just for pastors only, right? Nope. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is where it's going to be hard to keep up, but if you want to, go ahead. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Says that bishops have to be able to teach. Right? He says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. A bishop is looked at as a leader in the local church. It's an office that's held, and it's really someone designed to, it's an office that's designed to help make sure the church stays on track, that stays consistent with the doctrine in particular. And so if you see that and you want the church to stay on track with the doctrine, it kind of makes sense that they know the doctrine, right? They know the teaching that should be disseminated in local church. They understand it. And if they know it and they understand it, well, then they kind of have an obligation to share it too, don't they? So this should be someone that's able to teach. So that makes sense. So it's just pastors and bishops, right? Nope. Faithful men, it says, are ones that should be teachers. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, and you, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was one of the most faithful followers of Paul. Whenever Paul needed someone to go into an area and he wanted to make sure that that person would stay consistent with his teaching, and stay consistent with his ministry, he would send in Timothy. Verse 2, he says, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That was a command that he gave to Timothy, but I think that's a command that kind of translates into everyone. The things that we understand about the Lord, we are required to pass on. To pass on within our generation and to pass on to the next generation. He says, commit these things, entrust them, right? Teach them, test them, make sure there's understanding, and commission them to use that knowledge to go out and teach others. If we really want to be faithful in our teaching, we'll go out and teach others also. Now we're talking about a much broader scope of teaching, aren't we? You suppose all this teaching takes place in the local church? It couldn't, really, could it? This is teaching that happens day by day, moment by moment. This is teaching that happens in the workplace, teaching that happens in the school, teaching that happens at the grocery store, teaching that happens just when friends are together. He says, be diligent about those things. Commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Older women are said to teach. You think you're too old to teach? Oh, no. The older you are, the more we have to learn from you. The more that you are required to pass on what you understand, what you know. Look at Titus chapter 2. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, these were all written, what we call pastoral epistles. And so they were written to individuals who were pastors of local congregations. And so a lot of what they talk about are the role of individuals in churches and a lot of the functions of a local church. And here he says, but as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. The older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Do you see the generational format that's there for the church? The older women teaching the younger women about how to live a life that's pleasing to God. How to do those things which were faithful to God. So bishops have to be able to teach. Leaders in the church have to be able to teach. Faithful men have to teach others. And by the way, the learners there, guess what they get to do? Once they've learned, then they get to teach what they've learned to pass on to others. See how that works? Right? Older women are to be teachers of good things. Still more, the servant of the Lord has to be able to teach. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. If you thought that you could say, well, you know, I'm really not a teacher. I'm more of a doer. I'm a behind-the-scenes guy. I'm a servant. Guess what? Chapter 2, verse 24, he says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. You want to just serve God? Well, I got news for you. One of the ways you serve God is by teaching those around you. See the emphasis that Paul places on teaching. One more. If you thought you were too young, guess what? You don't get off the hook either. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. talking to Timothy, who is a young man himself, as far as Paul is concerned at this point, he says, "These things command and teach." Chapter 4, verse 11. "These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Young men, young ladies, it says, give your attention to reading the word, to exhortation, to the teaching. And yet we have a command there to teach the things that Paul had already passed on to Timothy. Paul says in particular to Timothy, he says, let no one despise your youth. Don't let anybody put you down or put down the information that you have to pass on simply because you're young. I tell this, and I go over this verse a lot with our kids at camps. Because I'll tell you, the group that we have that come to the camps and that are here in Sunday school have always been an advanced group. My kids go to a Christian school. And I think it's a very good Christian school. But from the day they arrive on campus, they are so far ahead of the other kids as far as their spiritual understanding and their knowledge of the Bible. It is very heartwarming to me to know that they get that. A lot of that they get in your homes. A lot of that they get here in this local church. And some of that they get in the camps and the other activities that we do with them. These kids, you kids, have a lot to teach other people. And that's going to be hard. That takes a completely different kind of courage. To be able to stand up with an adult and say, this is what I believe. To be able to show another individual, regardless of their age, the truth. Because although usually we think of older people as being older and wiser and so forth, we all know that that's not the case for every individual. There are some adults out there that don't understand the gospel of the grace of God. Should a teenager not share that with them just because they're younger? There's some adults out there that don't understand the truth relating to the mystery. Should we not share that with them just because we're younger? He says, don't let anyone despise or put you down for your youth. He says, first of all, be an example. In your word, in your conduct, do your homework. How many of you heard that before? Do your homework. Give attention to reading and exhortation and to the teaching, the doctrine. So, but when given the opportunity, you are called upon to teach. So, teachers, not just pastors, although pastors do need to teach. I think that's the fundamental requirement for a pastor, is that he's got to be able to teach. But pastors have to be able to teach. If you're going to be a leader in the church, out front, you need to be able to teach. If you're going to be a servant behind the scenes, guess what? You need to be able to teach. If you're older, you need to be able to teach. If you're younger, you need to be able to teach. So who does that cover? That's pretty much everybody, doesn't it? Right? So we all have the need to understand about teaching and be prepared to do it. So let's look at the fundamentals then of teaching. Who is it that really teaches? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Remember, the church at Corinth was a very immature group of believers. He calls them babes in this very letter. He gets on to them because they haven't progressed the way that they should have in the Word. They're immature. Right? But even with this group, he talks to them about some deeper things, especially with some. In verse 7 of chapter 2, he says this. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Particularly to those that are advanced, to those that are a little more mature in their understanding of spiritual things. "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Who really does the teaching? It's the Holy Spirit that does the teaching. The Holy Spirit teaches. That's why we can all teach and be effective teachers, because we all have the Holy Spirit within us. Here he says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Now, Paul doesn't go into great detail here in this book about the mystery. But he does reference it. He does occasionally talk about things related to the dispensation that God created for the Gentiles, the dispensation that he made for this age that we live in today. He said we can know that and we can teach that to others through the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit does that comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We can compare biblical idea with biblical idea. And we can learn and we can teach. When we're studying the Scriptures and we want to learn, what's the best source of helping us understand the Scriptures? It's the Scriptures themselves. The Holy Spirit does teach us, but a lot of times he does it by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. A lot of times we can look at the Scripture, we can compare one set of Scriptures to another set of Scriptures, and it gives us definition. It gives us understanding. It gives it meaning. So he says, that process helps us to understand the things that have been freely given to us by God. In this age of grace, now what is grace? Grace is a gift. Grace is about things that were given freely, without strings attached, without conditions set on them. Right? And he says, in this age of grace, we have been given so many things to us freely by God, by His grace. We can understand those things by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, they're going to be meaningless to you. You can't really know them. You can't really understand them if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood. But if you have been saved, and if the Holy Spirit does dwell within you, then these things are for you to understand. And they're rich blessings that are there available for you if we just put in the time, if we put in the effort, if we let the Holy Spirit do His work. So what's the purpose of teaching? What are we trying to accomplish when we go out to teach? Right? Let's assume then every one of you is going to be a teacher. Because if you're saved by the grace of God, guess what? You are. In some capacity, you're going to be a teacher. So what are we going to do with it? Go to 2 Timothy. There are two parts here that I want to look at. First one's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 2. In talking to Timothy here, he says, "Preach the word." That seems like a pretty simple idea. What else are you going to preach? Well, the fact is, there are a lot of things you can preach that aren't the word. But his command is, preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. You never know when your opportunity is going to come up. So you have to prepare ahead of time. Right? Be ready to preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Be ready in a way that you know the word so that you can persuade someone. That's what he's talking about. And he says, do it with all long suffering, because quite frankly, teaching is not an easy thing. And your prospective students won't always get it the first time. Or the second. Or the third. My wife teaches second grade. It's amazing how many times they have to go over simple math facts. I never knew there were so many answers to the problem 2 plus 3 equals box. But there are a lot of answers to that. Only one of them is right. But you have to do it with long suffering. You have to be patient in your teaching, right? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul's instruction to Timothy is, this is not going to be easy. People like to hear what sounds good to them. And that's not always what they need to hear. What you're going to teach them is not an easy thing for them to understand. No human being likes to hear that they are a sinner, or that their sin has separated them from God. And we have to understand that before we realize that there's nothing we can do about it. And we need a Savior. The wonderful news is that God's provided that Savior. He's provided that way back to Him already. He's already reconciled us to Himself. But not all of that's going to be easy for people to understand. They may not want to hear it. They might turn away from the truth. They might be caught up, he says, with fables. What's a fable? It's a story that someone's believed that's not true. Right? is just simply not true. So he says, be ready. Be ready in particular to contradict error. Go back to chapter 2, verse 24. Still here in 2 Timothy. It says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel to all, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. A lot of times we think we're accused of not really wanting to get along with people. And in some ways that can be a fair criticism. But not in this way. Paul says that if someone takes a position in opposition to God, contrary to His Word, we have an obligation to correct that misstatement. When my kids were very young, we had a Thanksgiving dinner going on. And we had an in-law that was there, and she was trying to tell my kids about church and things, and basically told them they had to be baptized in order to be saved. And I had to stop right there in the middle of our Thanksgiving celebration and say, stop, no, wait a minute. That's not right. That's not what God's Word says. God's Word says you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Because I couldn't let my children think that an adult who has at least apparent authority over them believes something contrary to God's Word. And it caused some tears and some discomfort at the celebration, and I wasn't sorry a bit. I mean, I didn't like it. But I felt like I had to do it. And I didn't regret it. I still don't regret doing that. Sometimes we have to step up and say, no, that's wrong. Paul says this is the time to do it. Other purposes, equipping and edification. Just like we read about in our scripture reading. Right? It's for the equipping of the saints for the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. The goal is to have the unity of the faith and knowledge. You know, until we've learned everything, we still have more to learn. And there's things you can teach me, and there's things I have to teach you. And that's how we work as a body. That's how we work as a church. If we do that. If only one of us is doing the job, we're only half learning. Okay? He says, don't be children. Grow up into the knowledge of the church. This is for the sake of the church. I want you to look at one other passage with me real quick. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And we'll stop here with this one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. For the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship or the dispensation from God, which is given to me for you. To fulfill the word of God, the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to the working which He works in me mightily. He says, this is something, teaching is something that's done for the sake of the church. It's for our benefit. It's got to be according to the dispensation. It's got to be in accordance with the mystery. But in accordance with those things, we should warn every man. If we are counting on just pastors to do this, we're not going to accomplish that. The only way we can warn every man is if everyone in the church teaches someone else. That's the only way we're going to be able to warn every man and teach every man so that we can present every man perfect or mature in Christ. Right? And it's in Him that He is perfect and mature. Right? Let's stop there for today. I just want to encourage you that when, as we look at this, don't automatically assume that just because you don't feel led to be a teacher out here up front or in a classroom up front, that you can't be a teacher. Every one of you has somebody that you can be a teacher to. There's somebody around you that needs to know the information you have, that you can pass that information on to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come together as a body of believers, that we can learn how to teach Your Word to others around us, that we can understand what Your Word has for us, and that we can pass that on to those around us, and that's teaching. We pray that You would help us to find opportunities to teach those that are in our path, those that surround us every day. There's opportunities for us, and those opportunities abound. And we pray that You'd help us to be faithful in those, that we might show others the truth of Your Word. How You've saved us from our sin by Your grace, through our faith in Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. That You've set up a new dispensation for us to live in, governed by that grace, that we might simply come to You on the basis of faith, live for You on the basis of faith, and work for You on the basis of faith. We pray that You would help us to achieve those goals, help us to do the work of the ministry that You've given to us in teaching one another, that we may present every man, having been warned and having been instructed by each of us. All these things we pray in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.